Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. It is the Players' Day off, but the work never stops here at Cheesehead TV. I call it work, but really, I'm just hanging with you folks, Packers fans worldwide, because that's what we do here at Cheesehead TV. Hope you're all having a great day, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and I hope you had a chance to check out Carry the G Radio with myself and Bill Schmid earlier this afternoon. Got to talk to Rashid Walker, Packers left tackle. Great conversation about the season so far and some great charitable endeavors that Rashid's a part of. Hope you'll check that out here on the channel. Put a link in the description of the videos so you can check out what he's doing. Charity, drive-wise, really great stuff. Please, please check it out. Wanted to talk a little bit about Edgerrin Cooper, the rookie linebacker. You talk about going through the tape from this Rams game and seeing a young man showing signs of figuring it out. I do not doubt for a moment that if you talk to the coaches, I'm sure they'll be able to point out where things are incorrect or he's maybe missed an assignment here or there. But man, this was the first game where I really thought he seemed to be firing on all cylinders as far as keying on whatever action was in the backfield, not taking false steps, arriving in a bad mood with the ball carrier. You saw him really hit sideline to sideline. Obviously, the big sack of Matthew Stafford jumps off the field, but seemed like no matter what the assignment was on his 30 snaps from scrimmage there in L.A., really didn't look like anything was too big for him. Didn't see him really lost or kind of a step slow to the action at any point. And again, you don't know the fine points looking at the All-22. You can only kind of judge what you see from down to down. But, man, I see a kid who's really starting to figure it out. And I am very excited to see more of him as this season goes along. This was the most action he's gotten percentage-wise when it comes to defensive snaps. And I think that number is only going to increase. There's no doubt that the Packers have leaned into the experience from Isaiah McDuffie. But I think it's, you know, going to see less and less McDuffie and more Cooper as we go along here. And it's not a straight one-for-one shot. I don't think there's any doubt that there's going to be some kind of mix throughout, you know, different packages and things of that nature. But man, they have got to get Cooper on the field more and more. There is no doubt that his explosiveness, his athleticism, it is undeniable. It very much jumps off the screen comparative to his peers. I'm excited to watch this kid grow as 2024 continues. Before we get going with your comments and your questions, I want to give a shout out to our good friends over at Prize Picks. That's right. Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com and use code CHTV. Spend $5 on lineups and get $50 instantly. You can join in the fun at the link in the description of this video if you want. Remember, use code CHTV. Do it, people. It's always interesting to watch things transpire over the course of a game like last night, that Monday Night Football game. Good times following along, not only with the game when it somewhat gets out of hand. I'm still hoping for my Prize Picks to come through. It's a good time. Keeps it interesting. Make sure you check it out and use code CHTV. Hello to everybody in the comments. So good to see everybody. Lots of people mixing it up. Mike Witt starting us off. What's up, man? Howdy, Nags and chat. The person I think is quietly having his best year as a pro is number 50. So steady. Pro Bowl season so far, in my opinion. Oh, zero doubt. I mean, I do think Zach Tom will be in the conversation for an all-pro bid. Now, it's tough at tackle because that is usually a case where you have to crack it against a bunch of names, guys who have been known, well-known for a number of years. But once you get in, usually people recognize your kind of value as a pass blocker and a tackle in general. We saw this with David Bakhtiari. It took him a while, you know, to get the recognition he deserved, but eventually that came. And I do think Zach will undoubtedly, again, be in the conversation. I don't know if he makes all pro, but he certainly should make a Pro Bowl. Now, that said, Bakhtiari was making all pros and not making the Pro Bowl for a few years at the start of his run there. So you never take anything for granted. All I know is that Zach Tom is playing lights out ball. Of that, there is little doubt. Pack Daddy, how are you, man? Regarding number one receivers, I think we actually have two number ones. ones. They both just happen to be sewn onto the same jersey, if you know what I mean. Get it? This has been a Jaden Reed chat. Mimsy, how you doing, man? Smoking Duff Duck GIF watching the Jets-Rodgers era. Mimsy, what I love is that I only know that reference because of my daughters. Olive, my youngest, particularly, is the foremost authority on the smoking duck GIF. There's zero doubt about it. She's been using that for a very long time now, and it is hilarious, and it is very funny when juxtaposed over the idea of watching Rodgers and the Jets. I mean, it's fascinating watching that news come out today, and then the reports that trickled out after that news came out regarding, oh, look, yes, Woody Johnson spoke with Aaron Rodgers last night, but they didn't discuss Robert Saleh being fired, and then Saleh's fired, and then we get a report, oh, well, Saleh was going to fire Nathaniel Hackett. Oh, interesting time. Very interesting. Hey, guess what? We don't have to worry about any of it. It's pretty great. Abdul, how are you, man? Hey, Aaron, does this Packers team remind you of any teams from past years? Inconsistent offense paired with poor run but opportunistic D. I mean, outside of the opportunistic D, right now it mostly reminds me of last year's team. I mean, the thing is they're at least putting it together a little bit more to score some points. They're not quite the desert of scoring that they were throughout the first half of last season. But, I mean, as far as the inconsistencies and the kind of shooting yourself in the foot aspect, the first half of last season sure feels like the first half of this season. On totality, as far as the opportunistic D, I mean, you could pick any number of years that Dom Capers was your defensive coordinator, especially in the later parts of the seasons. I do think that first season under Mike Pettine probably fits that bill. But yeah, as far as a specific comparison, not that jumps kind of immediately to mind. What else we got? We got John Simbatovich. What's going on, man? LOL to the Jets fans. Enjoy the ride you're on. Go, Pack, go. You're certainly not suggesting we have schadenfreude with all these Jets fans who were all up in our business during the trade of Aaron Rodgers, telling us how their general manager and their organization knew exactly what they were doing, and they had a foolproof plan, and the Packers were ridiculous for even entertaining the idea of trading Aaron Rodgers. Certainly, that's not what you're suggesting. I mean, but I feel it. You know what I'm saying? Abdul, what's up, man? We've talked a lot about Gary's lack of pass rush, but how is he in the run D? Is he still getting washed out like he did before? No, I don't think so. I think he's actually improved in that area, and I do think some of that can be attributed to what he's being asked to do in the scheme, how he is going about it as far as from a four-point stance and setting an edge. You certainly haven't seen him with some of his customary fly, you know, either by the quarterback around the edge and leave a wide open gap for him to step into. Although once or twice we've seen that occur, but I think that's only natural. And we haven't seen him take that inside track other than on what would be a stunt where he's being literally asked to do that to have a guy loop around him. But on his straight up one-on-one rushes, we haven't seen him try and get inside and then leave a wide open lane for the quarterback. And in the run defense in particular, as far as, you know, early downs when you suspect, okay, we've got to make sure we hold the edge, I think he's done a pretty good job in that regard. It hasn't been perfect. I think he is adjusting to a new scheme, but from what I've seen, yeah, it's been pretty decent, and I don't doubt for a moment that the adjustment to playing with his hands in the ground is certainly something that should be taken into consideration. I know there's been, as you mentioned, a lot of talk about the lack of a pass rush or production, and I think I did talk about this yesterday on Daily, talked about with Andy on Let's Talk Football. It's very frustrating during the game, and then you go back and you watch the tape, and you see, yeah, there have been plenty of snaps where he gets close. But man, close only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades, and you got to start producing. You got to start getting home. I thought Al at CheeseheadTV.com, Jersey Al, did a phenomenal job of highlighting three plays from that game in L.A. that show how close Gary has been. If you haven't checked it out, make sure you check out his three plays that make you go, because they certainly do in that regard. Jeezy baby, what's going on, man? Need Cooper to be good so we can all yell Coop after big plays. A swarming chorus of Coop from Lambeau Field. I'm all about that. Abdul, how you doing, man? Should Brooks and Wooden be playing more? Well, I don't think Wooden should be playing more at the expense of, say, Devontae Wyatt. I think the reason you saw Wooden out there at all is because Wyatt was down. He has been inactive literally every game up until that Rams game. And with Wyatt, you know, on the shelf, they called him up. And I thought he played well. You know, I don't think he was a world beater or anything, but he certainly seemed to give great effort, seemed to be doing what was asked of him. But once Wyatt is back, I'll be surprised if Wooden's not back on the shelf. Now, as far as Brooks goes, I think they've been playing him, maybe not a lot, but they've been having him in the rotation. They want to keep those guys, you know, fresh legged for the fourth quarter, etc. Maybe an uptick after this game, because I do think he was a little bit more productive than he has been. But I also think it's going to be dependent on matchups and what type of offense they're facing. But that said, hey, man, this week, it's got to be all hands on deck with Kyler Murray coming to town. Got to keep him contained. Got to keep him in the pocket. And hopefully Brooks is a part of that. Craig, thanks for the super chat, man. Do you think Goody subscribes to the Bill Walsh school of thought about ditching a player a year before they decline? Would explain the Rodgers and Jones moves. I mean, I don't know. I think it's, you know, not so much subscribing to Bill Walsh. I mean, I think Ted Thompson went that way as well. I mean, that's why he got rid of Charles Woodson when he did. I think you did see that with Goody, with the Jordy Nelson release. I think that's smart football. I think that's smart organizational decision-making. Whether it goes back to Bill Walsh or even before that, I do think, yeah, that is how they try to operate. Now, do they always make the right call? Probably not, but I think most of their decisions that they've kind of maybe hemmed and hawed and tried to like wrestle with over the years as far as when to move on from guys, more often than not. Now, again, it hasn't been perfect, but more often than not, I think they've been proven correct. So I get how it can be frustrating when you see a guy that you've gotten to know really well as a fan and who's been productive for you for years to make that move maybe a year before they actually fall off. That can be frustrating and can be really tough, especially when you watch Aaron Jones in Minnesota, how well he's playing, right? Although, as we talked about on Monday, now he's hurt. And I think the Vikings obviously luck out here because they are going into a bye week. And I know from the reporting that I've seen that there's a decent chance that he's back on the other end of the bye week. But yeah, I think Brian makes a calculated decision there. Like, you know, we don't want to be paying premium dollars for a back who is as old as Aaron Jones is, and probably those wheels are going to come off sooner rather than later. And yeah, he's going to have plenty of really productive outings and look really good for a little bit yet, but Packers getting out before it's actually too late, so to speak. And I think you want to talk about the biggest one, probably the most well-known, one I remember the best as far as hanging on too long, and that's Donald Driver. I mean, Donald Driver is a legend. Absolute cannot take anything away from what he did in his time in Green Bay, but they probably held on to him a year too long. And I don't think that's telling tales out of school. I don't think that's slandering Driver. I just think, yeah, they probably should have moved on before they did. And I think that's a great cautionary tale, you know, as far as you got to make the tough decision. And I think Goody, again, more often than not, he's done right by that. You know, I don't think he's perfect, but he's made mostly the right call there. Uncultured, thanks, man. I should not be feeling this kind of pleasure from the Jets-Rodgers situation, but I'm effing liking it. Can't say we didn't give warnings. Yeah, that's the part, right? That last bit. All the arguments that we had during Leverage Gate with Jets fans, trying to tell them, trying to let them know what they were in for. And look, I don't even think all this, obviously, is Rodgers' fault, but he's certainly a component. You can't deny that. The man threw three interceptions there in London, and Saleh's the one getting fired on Tuesday. You know, it's all part and parcel, and you're right. We certainly tried to let people know. No doubt about that. She said, Joey, how you doing, man? The Packers need to be careful about James Conner. Did you listen to Carry the G Radio today? Check out the very last segment, because that is exactly what I was talking about. I think he's a big problem for the Packers on Sunday. They have shown middling success when it comes to stopping the run. I know a lot of the national headlines and spotlight has been on Kyler Murray for good reason. He's insanely talented, and he absolutely put on a show against the 49ers with his legs in particular. But Connor is the engine of that offense, and of, I would say, that team. I mean, he got the ball, 19 times? They didn't hand it to anybody else. He was literally the only running back who had any carries in that game. and he was averaging 4.5 yards per carry. That keeps you ahead of the sticks. That puts you in good positions. That helps your quarterback out. The Packers cannot let him get on track. The best thing they could possibly do, and it's going to sound familiar, is get a lead and make them have to scramble to get back into the game. Now, they did that against the 49ers, albeit I think I would contend mostly with Kyler Murray's legs. But, yeah, Connor's going to be a problem. He is going to be an issue for this Packers team. I have zero doubt. That doesn't mean, like, he's going to go off. I don't think, like, oh, they're going to lose the game or anything like that. But he's a legit problem, especially for how physical he runs and how much stronger he seems to get as the game goes on. If the script is going the Cardinals' way, they're going to keep giving him the ball and letting him, you know, tear into this Packers front. They've got to nip that in the bud early on Sunday. Matthew, what's going on, man? How good is Bullard? Love him with McKinney. He's good. I liked seeing him down in the slot. I think he got taken advantage of a little bit in the passing game at times, but you love his physicality. I think, again, much like I was talking about with Cooper, didn't seem too overwhelming for him. Seemed assignment sure. You love his physicality. Certainly not afraid to stick his nose in there against the run, which you need to have as far as playing in the slot down near the line of scrimmage. He's definitely got that. And that kind of configuration of having him down there and getting Evan Williams on the field, I love it. I'm down with that. Abdul, what's going on, man? Devin White got cut. Foresee any Packers interest? No. No, I do not. Klaus, what's going on, man? RX, number 29, on par with Woodson. Or is X, I guess, would be the question here. I'm not ready to go that far. You know, don't ever forget, Charles Woodson won a Defensive Player of the Year award and helped them win a championship. And it's not to say that, you know, X couldn't go on to do those very things, but I think it's early. I do think he's been insanely impactful through 5 games. I don't think that can be denied. And I do love the fact that it's not just the interceptions. While those are easy to point to, Andy and I have talked about this on Let's Talk Football a lot. It's his play, all the other plays, that is so encouraging. Because God knows we have seen some piss poor to pitiful play from the safety position in Green Bay, Wisconsin, for a number of years. And to have not just competence, but playmaking back there again. It's like that scene in Wizard of Oz when you go from black and white to color. It's a whole new world. So I'm all for giving X his due. He's certainly lived up to every bit of the hype from this summer. Certainly, seemingly, or, you know, rising to the level of the contract he was given. Comparing him to Woodson, it's a little early yet for me. Just, again, not taking anything away from him. Just a little early. Don Simitovich, what's up, man? Pair with Brooks, Green Bay to trade for Isaiah Dunn, quarterback. Cornerback. I mean, are we just going to do, is this breaking news or are we just doing like fan fiction? I'm confused. Joe, what's up, man? Where are they at with Morgan being ready? Thought Ryan was getting up very slow after some plays. Thought he might have been playing hurt. I don't know about playing hurt. He certainly had one of his poorer outings out there in L.A. As far as Morgan, we won't know anything until tomorrow. He has been practicing, and he's been, I believe, a limited participant the last week or so. Got to think he's going to be given a chance to get back into the lineup, though. I mean, they were really almost handing him the position this summer in training camp prior to that shoulder injury. Now it's somewhat been re-aggravated. Got to think they'll bring him along probably pretty slowly because that's what the Packers do. But as soon as he's right, I suspect, yeah, he'll be given the chance to at least start rotating back in there with Ryan and then eventually, most likely, take the gig. Adam, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. How are you feeling about the performance of Josh Jacobs so far this season? I feel great about it. I'd love it if he got the ball more. I know there's been some quibbling about his pass protection, which I understand. I do think, for the most part, he's been pretty strong in that regard, actually. He certainly missed on an assignment or two. But, man, he's the type of back, much like we've seen from Connor, we were just talking about. He gets stronger as the game goes on, the more you feed him. I think you saw that against the Colts. I think you'd see that more if he was given opportunities to do so. I understand keeping guys fresh. I know that's what the Packers want to do. That's why you see Emmanuel Wilson as much as you do. But I think you paid Jacobs the way you did. He is capable of being a bell cow back. Let him be a bell cow. Again, I'm not trying to take anything away from Emmanuel Wilson, but Josh Jacobs is exponentially more talented and has the chance and the ability to be a real workhorse if you let him. And I think with your quarterback coming back from the injury, you'd want to lean into that. Lean into that running game. Lean into him being a focal point of your offense. We kind of saw that down the stretch last year when Aaron Jones came back from injury, and they kept teams really off balance with their run-pass mix, being able to marry the play-action game off of the running game. And that brings us to the question of, are they staying out of some of that because of Jordan's knee? They're running it a whole lot out of the shotgun. It's like A.J. Dillon 2.0 again. Let him get soloed up in the backfield behind the quarterback and get ahead of steam and hit this gap, or run the zone scheme stuff that we saw work pretty damn well in the second half against the Rams. Right now, yeah, am I happy? I think he's playing well. I just want him to be a focal point of the offense rather than just a complementary piece, which is what we've seen through these last 2 weeks. Peter Lohr, how are you, man? What do you see from the Murray-Harrison connection? It's interesting because Harrison was targeted 7 times in that game against the 49ers and only came down with 2 receptions, but the talent is undeniable. And it's going to be, you know, fun, in quotes, to watch the Packers secondary have to deal with him. Obviously, you really, really hope Jair is back this week. But yeah, that's a couple that could, you know, a tandem that could end up being very, very dangerous in the NFL for years to come. I don't think they're there yet. I think they're still getting on the same page and or learning each other and the system together. But yeah, man, he's an athletic freak and it could be a potential big, big nightmare slash headache slash problem for years to come in the NFC. I don't think they're there yet, though. Now, that said, that doesn't mean he can't go off for like 5 catches, 100 yards and a touchdown, if not more, if you let him. But I still think that's a bit of a work in progress. Ed, how are you, man? With the Bears improving, our division looks strong, which will make winning it all that much sweeter. See, Ed, I like where your head's at. I like the mentality you're hitting on. That's good stuff. Mike Witt, how are you, man? The key question is, does McCaffrey still think Douglas is the smart one between him and Goody? Oh, McAfee. I get where you're going now. The smart one between him and Goody. Between this and the Reddick ordeal, yikes, LOL. It is interesting to see Robert Saleh get the axe while Joe Douglas is still employed. That record that they currently have is as much a reflection of Douglas as it is Saleh. I mean, just fascinating to see who skips and who doesn't. John Simatovich, what's going on, man? So we can have Brooks and Dunn combo. Yes, fiction, LOL. Well played. Man, we got like 10,000 people checking out this stream right now across all platforms. Can I just say, you folks are amazing. Packers fans, you never cease to amaze me. 10,000 people, 10,000 plus folks checking this out on a Tuesday afternoon after week 5. You guys are awesome. Oh, Matthew Clark singing my song right here. Packers by 17 and Chelsea win 3-0. Stick your house on it, Nags, for this weekend. All right, I don't know about... I just moved in. I don't want to like lose the home right away, but I like where your head's at. Marshall Duke, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Do you think Jordan needs to work on stepping into his passes in the pocket instead of habitually backfooting it? Yes. But what's funny is I thought that last year, and now here we are a year later after a full offseason where you would have thought they'd be working on that. You haven't seen much change. Now, you got to take into account whatever was going on in Brazil. You saw the shots of him on the sideline getting his legs looked at. Who knows about the field? And then coming back from the injury, maybe he's a little trepidatious. Maybe protecting himself a little bit by falling away from these things. But, man, I think you see it game after game, especially these last 2 weeks, where he's got open guys, and yet the ball is just diving on him and hitting well in front of his intended target. You know, that's an indication he's not stepping into it, driving through it. As Rodgers always talked about, you throw with your legs. And if you get the power through your legs and your core, that ball is going to arrive on time and in place. But if you're falling back and it's all arm or mostly arm, that's when you get into trouble. And I think we've seen plenty of evidence of that the last 2 weeks. Now, it's not on me. That's on Tom Clements. That's on Matt LaFleur, Steno, and company to be drilling that with Jordan. At some point, though, when you're in the game and the bullets are flying, so to speak, and you're running around and you got 300-pound plus dudes in your face, yeah, you're going to have some off-platform, wing it. You got to do what you got to do, right? But I think some of the more, for lack of a better word, routine throws that you see him missing, he's got to lean into those fundamentals in a way that he just isn't right now. No doubt. Cammy, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. I loved how we played in the second half in these games. We are so slow in the first half. We have to get it together for four quarters. Thoughts? Couldn't agree more, and that's why I answered Abdul's question earlier on the way I did as far as what team does this remind me of? Last year's team. I mean, the good part is they're finding ways to score. I mean, you look at what they did against the Vikings in the second half, what they did after the pick six from Jordan against the Rams. They get it together and they score in a way they weren't kind of that horrific stretch that we saw week 4 through 7 last year, right? But man, the inconsistencies, the shooting yourselves in the foot, all of the nonsense that keeps them kind of out of the end zone and kind of keep putting their own problems in their own way. Yeah, it's problematic. It's not good. Hey, I saw someone ask about a creamy and cold beverage that they might be able to partake in across the great state of Wisconsin. Let me tell you, I have just the thing.
Will we carry the G wherever we may be? So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
That's right, Care the G Cream Ale, the official beer of Cheesehead TV, is available all across the great state of Wisconsin and now in Chicago in certain places. Make sure you check out cheeseheadtv.com, click on the beer link, and you'll see an interactive map where you can just put your zip code and it will show you where Care the G is available closest to your location. Make sure you do it, people. Got to get yourself some Care the G, especially before this weekend in the Packers home game. Mike Witt, how are you, man? Banky on a Carry the G episode this year, Nags. I would love nothing more. Unfortunately, you know, I know people don't really believe this, but Corey is a very big deal running his company and doing lots of big time stuff that I'm not allowed to talk about, but he's very, very busy. Maybe, hopefully, maybe we get to December. We'll see if we can get Corey on a Carry the G episode, but he's a very big deal. And I am just very lucky to have any time with him at all, including Packer transplants each and every week here at Cheesehead TV. Check us out tomorrow. Ryback, what's up, man? 10,000 plus viewers, Nags, is because we are diehard fans and you're awesome. Go Pack Go. We need Carry the G. We do need Carry the G. Ryback, I really appreciate the sentiment and the kind words. Abdul, how are you, man? Who's better performance-wise, Walker or Martinez? Are you talking comparisons between inside backers in different schemes with different coaching staffs and different surrounding teammates? I think Walker's exponentially more talented and got a higher upside. Martinez, while I know a lot of people are not a big fan, I think he was productive as hell. And I think it would be great if we could get Walker to be as productive as Martinez was during his tenure in Green Bay. That's just me. That's how I read it. All right, buddy, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. As I said, Packer Transplants live back tomorrow afternoon. Make sure you check it out. We'll be going a little later than usual, about a half hour later. So make sure you check the time, but we will be live. In the meantime, hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack Go.